Welcome to GMFC Studios, God's production company.
Praise the Lord, everyone. God bless you. We welcome you into Grace and Mercy Fellowship Center, into our studio. It is our hope that we find you in the peace of God. But should you be in a crisis right now, I think you've come to the right place at the right time, because often the framework in which we put our crisis determines the weight, the influence, and the impact of that crisis in our lives. And as believers, we should be functioning with a kingdom mentality. And I'm going to get a little bit further into this, but I just want to salute you and thank you for the time that you're giving us today. Anyone that knows me knows this is not going to be a Christmas sermon. I'm not going to tell you that Jesus was born in a manger and that he came and the wise men came and gave him gifts and all that. That is absolutely 100% the truth. However, that is not the sermon I'm giving you today. I want to speak to your soul. I want to speak to your mind. I want to speak to your heart. I want to talk into your crisis so that you can walk into this season and every season with your head high, with a spirit of victory, because you recognize the power of who you are and who it is that is in you, and you can live a triumphant life. And I believe that that's the whole reason in which he came, was to restore us back to a place of dominion, the initial place we were created to be in the beginning. Now, the last time we spoke, I was sharing with you a plan or a process of how to deal with, relate to, and see your crisis. And if you have not seen that segment, I encourage you to go back and watch it. Pay attention today, but you're kind of reading the end of the book and you haven't read the beginning. And it's important that you read or hear the beginning, because it puts into context the things that I'm going to say to you today. I don't plan to be before you long. I'm not going to hold you long. I know everyone's got a lot of stuff that they're trying to get accomplished, and of course we leave it to Sunday to get that done, but we should also leave time for the Lord. And so I want to share this with you. Now, when I left off the last time, I left off with the promise to detail what we call having a kingdom mentality. And it's important that we as believers understand that we function in a different kingdom. We are ambassadors that are passing through the kingdom of the world, but we are citizens of the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not something that is coming, it is something that is here and present right now. And we have to recognize that we function under the authority and within the rules and regulations of the kingdom of God, not the kingdom of the world. So we have to then recognize our mentality, the way we comprehend, the way we process information, the way we deal with facts of life, have to be filtered through a lens of our mentality as citizens of God's kingdom. One of the things you see on TikTok nowadays is filters, and you're able to take a picture or a video and put it through a filter, and that filter will change the way something looks or change the way something sounds. It's no different, and this is actually before TikTok thought of this. This is what God has been trying to get us to see forever, is that we have to filter everything in this life through the mentality of being a citizen in his kingdom. So I'm going to endeavor to share with you what scripture has to say to us concerning how we think. I want you to write that down. How I think matters. How I think matters. Now remember what I've already told you. What we visualize, or how we visualize our conflicts in life through a lens of perception built upon the process of how we see things. So our sight introduces knowledge, but is knowledge without foundation or knowledge outside of context. It's just, and in many cases, factual, but it, at the end of the day, it's just information waiting to be contextualized. How we see things, the sight of the things that we're dealing with, is connected to how we contextualize the information that has been introduced. So as we begin to comprehend what we see, we shape what we see according to our experiences, our faith, and our understanding. In essence, we see and then comprehend or think about what we see. Thinking is the process of putting what we've seen in the right boxes. So does the Word of God help us in our ability to comprehend or think about what we are seeing? Well, I want you to turn with me to the book of Philippians, the fourth chapter, and we've been working in this book. We dealt with verses 6-8 the last time we spoke, and today we're going to deal with verses 8-9, Philippians 4, 8-9. It should be on your screen. Just read along with me. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. So the ability to access God's promise of peace, I find, is directly connected to your thought life. And your thought life determines the foundation and framework of what it is we see or are dealing with. Now, Paul gives us six distinct ideas of disciplines of thought or focus upon which we can frame what it is we are seeing or place what we're seeing upon a foundation that's connected to who we are. So we settle what we see upon these principles or focuses or context. We contextualize it according to God's word. So the first thing that Paul tells us is what to think about is those things that are true. So we look at this word true, and we know that, you know, in today's culture, it's the idea that everyone has a truth, and for them, their truth is true, which means if we are dealing with the same idea or subject, but your truth is different than my truth about that subject, then somebody's wrong, because there can only be one truth, even though our culture today, our society today, the way humanity is developing would cause you to think that there isn't just one truth. There are many truths. And because there are many truths, there are many ways to see something. Well, I would argue that as a child of God and citizen of the kingdom of heaven, I would declare to you that there is only one truth. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, singular, not I am one of the truths. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. All singular words indicating that there is but only one. So as we look at this word true or truth from the Greek word aletheia, the first thing that you are to discipline your mind to is that there is but one truth, and that truth is what the Word of God describes is true, and that is Jesus and His Word. So the one truth that we have as citizens of the kingdom of God is not our truth or how we feel about anything, because you know our feelings cause us to feel one way one day and another way the next day. The only thing that matters then to the child of God is not my truth or your truth as brothers and sisters in Christ, but only the truth, which is Jesus and what he has declared. Now, aletheia communicates what is true is that which is unconcealed, that's been revealed, as opposed to that which is just apparent. So apparent has to deal with what I'm seeing. And the word, the Greek word that is used, is really more directed to communicating a truth that is not known of itself, but has been unconcealed or revealed against what is known. So some things, you know, look to be one thing, but according to the word of God, the truth about it may not be what it appears to be. And that's something that you really need to take to heart, that things you're dealing with may not always be what they appear to be. There is authenticity to what has been said according to God's word. In other words, we match our crisis, what we're dealing with, to what God has declared about that crisis. I'll give you an example. We match sickness, dealing with our health, to what God says about our wellness. We match our weaknesses to what God determines about our strength. We match our addictions to what God declares about our deliverance. We match our poverty to what God declares about our prosperity. And we can do this on and on. There's no subject upon which the scripture does not give us a context with which to see and understand whatever it is we are dealing with. So we stand upon the foundation of the truth of the kingdom over the knowledge of facts. Now understand, for a long time people have tried to get people to believe that, you know, you're sick, you've been diagnosed with some condition, that, oh, that's just not true, you know, you're not sick. Well, that's an improper attempt to correlate what God says about your sickness to what you're dealing with. We deny not the diagnosis. We just imprison the diagnosis within the framework or the bars of God's holy truth concerning it. The Bible declares that I am the God that healeth thee. So we frame or confine the facts of our crisis, in this example, you know, our health condition, within the prison of God's truth about our health condition. And this is why I can declare that I am well and in good health, prospering in my body, even as my soul prospers in the Lord. Understand, I'm not denying the diagnosis of my sickness or the condition of my health that I can see. I'm rather imprisoning the fact within the inescapable bars of God's truth. And this is something that is paramount for a kingdom citizen to understand, because we function not according to what we see, not according to what we feel, not even according to necessarily what we know in and of ourselves, but only that which we know of God. That which has been revealed or uncovered, the truth of God's holy word. The next thing Paul tells us is honest, which comes from the Greek word semna. Now this relates to things that are worthy of honor or things worthy of reverence, as opposed to flippancy that lacks any level of seriousness. So semna has to do with conduct as well as character, how I walk out or live out God's truth over the existence of the facts of my crisis. how I live them out. Do I believe what God has declared? If I do, do I live out the condition or the impact influence of the condition on my life? Or do I live out the impact influence of the condition of truth through God's holy word? I may not have manifested yet the deliverance of the condition that I am in, but my faith causes me to stand, talk, believe, and see only what God has declared about it. Paul then talks about just, which comes from the Greek word dikaios. And this has to do with what is right according to God's standard, according to how God sees something, which is spelled out for us in the scriptures, or at least to the extent for which God wants us to understand. So dikaios moves away from its ethical or more forensic moorings to a relational position between God and his people. We have to understand, and we can never forget, the purpose of Christ returning to the earth, taking upon the sins of the world, the judgment of God against sin, is to restore right relationship between us and God. And we have to understand that we are in a relational position with God. We are in a relationship with God, not just as acquaintances, but as intimate lovers. Because only as intimate lovers can seed be passed back and forth. God has taken his very seed and put it in us, even as a man puts his seed in his wife, which produces life. Now, the life that it produces between husband and wife is that which reflects them. The seed that I put in my wife, which produced the sons that I have, who then reflect us. It is no different with God as he places his seed in us, and as it matures and grows and develops, it produces something that looks like him, or at least it should. Now, this action brings forth a pregnancy that will birth peace because we are eternally connected to God, and God is peace. This is why last week, or the last time that we spoke, I was telling you, the way we see things, we can get into a place of frustration like the disciples on the boat when Jesus is sleeping on the boat during the middle of a really climactic storm, a critical storm for which they thought the boat would be destroyed and they would drown in the sea. And here Jesus is in the midst of that sleeping. We can have this peace in God because we know that God is a keeper of his word. And because he is peace, when we are connected to him, regardless of what we're going through, if we're standing upon his truth, then we can be in or have that same level of peace as we see, because we are influenced not by the storm that we see, but by the truth of his peace in us. The next thing Paul tells us is pure, and this comes from the Greek word hagna, which is to mean like stainless or chaste. And it relates to things that encourage a level of purity. So this reflects not only an internal condition, but also an external attitude that is demonstrated in our behavior and our conduct in how we deal with our frustration. So if you're trying to understand as an outside person looking at another person who's dealing with crisis, as to whether or not they are truly standing upon God's promise, then we can see that because we see it or reflect it in the purity of their behavior, which is demonstrated upon their belief or faith in the truth that God has declared. Now, I'm not saying that, you get this diagnosis, you're on your sick bed, you're on your deathbed, and you have a condition in your body that all of a sudden now you're just running around singing God's praises and it just doesn't have an effect. That's not what I'm saying to you. We always deal with the human condition, which is one of the reasons why the human condition in the conversion of man, when the corruptible becomes incorruptible, the mortal becomes immortal, when this happens, the flesh is killed, is destroyed, the carnality of man, the carnal condition of man is destroyed. Until that happens, we deal with it. And it has a life of its own. It has a mind of its own. It has thoughts and emotions of its own. And it always tries to influence the body to reflect what it is thinking versus reflecting what God has declared or the truth of God's word. What I am trying to say to you is that the push or the purpose or the determination behind your thought life should always be to try to reflect the things that God has declared. Yes, the diagnosis is what it is. And every once in a while, I might get down about it. But when I get down, I am purposed to remind myself of what God declares. And because I believe in what God says, I return to a reflection of his truth rather than a reflection of the facts that have been presented to me related to the condition of being on my deathbed. First and foremost, if that was the case, I reconcile that to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. So while for some there is uncertainty in death, I know as for myself that when I die, I shall be with Christ. And for me, that is great joy. What is better than being with the Lord? So then death loses its power over my mental state while I'm living. It doesn't have that power over me. Death, where is thy sting? Grave, where is your victory? It's all been consumed in Christ. So then I relate my condition to what God has declared. So if God, in his will and purpose and for his glory, delivers me from my deathbed, which I know and have accepted is a possibility, depending upon whatever it is that God is doing in my life, then I'm going to walk in that truth and believe it until I'm translated from this life into the next. And if it was not the will of God, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done, if I must suffer this thing for whatever your purpose is, that whatever you glean from it or however it affects the kingdom of God, then so be it. Let this cup pass from me. But if not, let your will be done. So if it's my purpose to believe and stand upon the truth of God, knowing that he can deliver me within a heartbeat, he can but utter a word, blink an eye, I can be healed. But if it's not his will, I still don't have to be down, and I can challenge the spirit of depression about my condition with the hope and promise of God that even if I leave this place, I'm going to be present with the Lord. So then what is there to be down for? Someone said, well, I'm not going to be with my loved ones anymore. Well, you're going to be with the one that loves you the most. Yes. And I believe that the joy that you will have in the presence of God will overwhelm any state or condition that you can perceive in our present condition of life. The sadness is really those that have been left behind. But the hope and promise for them is that they will see us again if you're standing upon the word of God. The next thing God talks about is lovely. So this comes from the Greek word prosphelis. And this refers to things that incite true love rather than erotic behavior. And so when we kind of look at this, we're connecting it to that which is agreeable and acceptable to God should fill your thoughts and minds. What is agreeable and acceptable to God? So we have to look at the scripture and find out what God is declaring and what is acceptable in his sight according to his holy word. And then as we come to that understanding, we match our understanding to that understanding, because that in the end is the only thing that matters. Then Paul says of a good report, And this comes from a Greek word, euphema. And this relates to things attractive in character. So the common ground for these meanings attempts to positively describe an attractive moral state or moral character or moral depiction. And if we look at the text, the word if here is an indicative, in an indicative mood. So if, which is I or EI in the Greek language, it's often used or called a condition of the first class. And it's important that we understand what this means. So in essence, it is translated since. In other words, these attributes and many similar ones do exist and should be considered virtuous and worthy of praise. Philippians 4 and 9, those things which ye have both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do, and the God of peace shall be with you. Now, this is probably the last and perhaps most important condition for the kingdom believer functioning within the mentality of the kingdom and thereby enjoying God's peace. The condition has to be a practice, prositi, which means that they have heard and seen, thus they practice, put to life in their life, what they have heard and seen in the lives of their brethren who have functioned according to the truth of God. So the emphasis shifts from right thinking in verse 8 to right doing in verse 9. Now the former verse enumerates the proper subjects of meditation, what it is you are to think about. This verse encourages the proper course of action, or what you do after you've thought about it, which naturally should follow right thinking. If a person will take seriously the four conditions given by the Apostle Paul, which we talked about the last time, and then put them into practice, God will prove himself faithful to his promise. In other words, you have to put into action what you know to be true of God and his promise, and that promise, though written to the world, is meant intimately and instinctively directed at you. Even more so than you have put into practice the frailty of your flesh, which drives you to become upset when things are not as they should be, or when your storm hits its climax. So we're struggling between the knowledge of who we are in our carnal state with the knowledge of who we are in our spiritual state. We're going into a season now where the winter season, where everything dies. It dies so that it can, the base of it can produce new life. And that new life brings new fruit. So if you look at the trees, the leaves have turned all kinds of colors in the fall. And as we're entering in, I believe today is the actual first day of winter. If not, it's within a day or two. But I believe it's the 22nd of December. So we've entered into a season of transition. Even in our calendar, we're coming into another season of transition from one year to the next. So we have to allow the mentality of our citizenship in the natural to die so that we can enjoy the knowledge of our citizenship in the kingdom of God, functioning with kingdom mentality, and thus connecting that kingdom mentality against the things that we've learned in our carnal state of being. And then when this new season begins, we will see things the way God intends for us to see them, and thus what we see will have a different impact in our life. I encourage you, think about these things that I've shared with you. On New Year's Eve, I will be in Ironton, Ohio at New Jerusalem Christian Center. My wife and I and those that travel with us, I'll be bringing the New Year's Eve, New Year's Day sermon. And you're getting a glimpse at what direction I'm going, what God is giving me to release. And it's important. If you're in the southern part of Ohio, or if you're in the central part and you can drive down to the southern part, be there with me, because God has given me a tremendous truth to share with the body of Christ that will allow our 2025 to be a whole lot different than our 2024 has been. If we apply, the Bible says that we ought to study the word, rightly dividing it. And then that's where people drop off. After the rightly dividing or understanding, comprehending the truth of God, we have to take that and apply it. It's the application, practice of what we know to be true that allows us to live in the freedom that God has determined and declared for us. So I encourage you, if you have nowhere else to be, come on down to New Jerusalem Christian Center, where Bishop Isaac Glover is the pastor, and listen and join with us in celebration as we close this year and we prepare to open the new year, as God blesses me and uses me in that service to deliver a word of truth that I believe will change your life. Because in that service, I'm going to tell you why he shall be called what the Bible declares he shall be called, and how the application of that truth will change your 2025 and truly make it different than every year that has preceded it, and position you for great success in 2025 as you look forward until the Lord calls us to be home with him. I hope that this word has been a blessing to you. Know that we're praying for you, that we love you. We wish you the best in this season. We're thanking God for you. Reach out to us if you need us. Other than that, have a tremendously blessed Sunday. Amen.
This has been a production of the GMFC Studios. God bless you.